The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Before we go to Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas, Nick Ferrari, presenter Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC Radio, is walking around London today following the Trump entourage. Tell us first, Nick, are there big crowds out supporting him or big crowds out protesting against him?
Matt, the big crowds are out protesting him. It's probably not as large as some of the protesters might have hoped, but you're absolutely right. Trump has come to town with, get ready for some figures now for you and your listeners. There is an entourage of 1,000 people. There is a convoy of 14 cars. There is a bill of £20 million, but there doesn't appear to be currently the 200 or 1,000 or so protesters that were expected, but there has been a voluble and lively protest against the arrival of the so-called champion of the free world.
Let's hear a little bit of how Donald Trump addressed the issue of the crowds protesting against him.
As far as the protests, I have to tell you, because I commented on it yesterday, we left the Prime Minister, the Queen, the royal family. There were thousands of people on the streets cheering. And even coming over today, there were thousands of people cheering. And then I heard that there were protests. I said, where are the protests? I don't see any protests. I did see a small protest today when I came, very small. So a lot of it is fake news, I hate to say. But you saw the people waving the American flag, waving your flag. It was tremendous spirit and love. There was great love. It was an alliance. And I didn't see the protesters until just a little while ago. And it was a very, very small group of people put in for political reasons. So it was fake news. Thank you.
Fake news, was it? You're an eyewitness now, Nick?
I'm about, to use an Americanism, I'm about four blocks away. Was it as big as it was expected? Matt, no, it was not. Was it fake news? Fake news? No, absolutely not. The president is wrong there. Yes, there are some people who are waving flags. And did he see as much of the demo as possible? No, because there was a carefully orchestrated police operation involving, it is said to be, somewhere in the region of about 9 to 10,000 police personnel, that actually the demo was not allowed to hit the key area. Now, this is interesting because you and I spoke in May, when Extinction Rebellion had those incredibly forceful demonstrations when they shut down bridges. This was a very different police tactic from the word go. This was robust policing. Anybody who was deemed to pose any percent of protest was carefully and politely moved away, so there were nowhere they were going to block the road. But for the president to say it's fake news, to say there was a demo, that is ludicrous, because it took an hour, but they inflated, of course, the great big Trump baby balloon blimp, and that flew.
Yes, I believe you also had an encounter on radio with the man who brought to the protest an effigy of Trump sitting on a toilet and tweeting.
Yes. So the gentleman who has designed that is £25,000 of work. Good luck to him. And it's been crowdfunded. And it is 16 feet of Donald Trump sitting on the men's room with his pants around his ankles, with his tie dropping into the basin. And he's breaking wind. I shall use that expression as opposed to the one that the gentleman used on my radio. And I challenged him whether this was right, whether it was appropriate. Here's an interesting line. He said, of course it's right, because we're in Trafalgar Square. This is where we're in the heart of one of the greatest military heroes of Britain. Donald Trump is a draft dodger. Admiral Nelson lost his leg fighting for the United Kingdom. Actually, just to remind all my listeners, your listeners, actually he lost his arm, subsequently lost his eye. But credit to him, and this is what Britain is about, we allow peaceful and controlled protest. And right now, I'm four blocks away from the protest. I'm actually relieved how quiet it is. I thought it would be a lot louder than this.
Okay.
I think currently it's passed off well.
Look, there's one other thing I want to ask you about, Nick, and thank you for taking the call, as I know you are following around what's going there. Nigel Farage apparently has been meeting in the last hour with Donald Trump. And this, I think, is probably worrying to us here in Ireland, in that we are fearful of a no-deal Brexit. You know, we can live with Brexit, that's what the British people want, but the no-deal Brexit has all sorts of economic consequences, and it has consequences for our border on this island as well. I just want to play one clip of Trump in relation to Brexit earlier today.
I really predicted what was going to happen. Some of you remember that prediction. It was a strong prediction, made at a certain location on a development we were opening the day before it happened. And I thought it was going to happen because of immigration more than anything else. But probably it happens for a lot of reasons. But I would say, yeah, I would think that it will happen and it probably should happen. This is a great, great country and it wants its own identity. It wants to have its own borders. It wants to run its own affairs. This is a very, very special place. And I think it deserves a special place. And I thought maybe for that reason and for others, but that reason it was going to happen. Yeah, I think it will happen. And I believe the prime minister's brought it to a very good point where something will take place in the not too distant future. I think she's done a very good job. I believe it would be good for the country. Yes.
Now, leaving aside that he made the prediction the day after the vote and when the result was known, and that has been shown previously, and he still seems to believe that he was talking the day before the vote, it's a little bit worrying there to think that he's gone in with this idea that you don't have your own identity, you don't have your own borders, that you're unable to run your own affairs. But that seems very much to be sitting with the hardcore no-deal Brexiteers, Nick.
Yeah, apologies for the noise. A couple of police bikes just went by, so sorry for that, man. Yes, but this speaks to the core Trump audience, which is the disaffected. The disaffected that in the United States voted for a complete change of course, and the disaffected for the United Kingdom who voted for Brexit. So these are the people that Trump really plays well to. No surprise, an absolute feather in a cap to my LBC colleague, I have to declare, he appears on the radio station with me. Nigel Farage has had an audience, a meeting, whatever you want to call it, with Donald Trump, which is fantastic. That's more that I currently understand has been afforded to Boris Johnson, who's had a phone call. Michael Gove might be in the running, but this speaks to what Donald Trump is about. He seeks those, he finds those who he feels might be disenfranchised, might be left behind, and that is the potent message. Remember, Matt, the Euro elections just a week or so ago, and how so many people across the whole of the continent who feel, rightly or wrongly, that they've been ignored or left behind, and that's how they voted. And Trump absolutely taps into that, and that's what we're seeing in London.
Thank you very much, Nick Ferrari, for joining us. We're going to go to Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas now. Cal, is this the done thing for an American president to visit a foreign country and start telling it what it should do in the middle of what is a very sensitive time politically in relation to Britain's exit from the European Union, recommending that it should get out without doing a deal, something which here in Ireland would have dramatic and major adverse consequences for us?
Wow, Matt, I must be really having an effect there. Now, it's not enough for you and Marion to take the opposite position of myself. You have to bring in somebody else. Well, I feel very honored. Look, I think it's free speech time. People can come over here from other countries and tell us what we're doing right or wrong, and we can go to other countries and tell them the same thing. My own view of the criticism of the mayor of London was that the president shouldn't have done it. He was raising his visibility at a time when he doesn't really need to do that. But I thought his entire performance in the UK, certainly with the state banquet and the wonderful toast that he and the Queen gave each other, admittedly it was written for him, but he delivered it in a dignified way. I think the entire trip has gone tremendously. I would certainly point out that Melania Trump, who has been ignored by the fashionistas and magazines around the world ever since she became First Lady, looked incredible. She was compared, at least in one place, with Princess Diana, and in another with Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady. The one question the media have not asked about any of these protesters is, where did they come from? Who paid for them on the buses to come into London? Who paid for them overnight if they were staying hotels? Who paid for their food? Don't these people have jobs? Is the job market so bad that they have to get the unemployed in there? I mean, this is remarkable. It happens all the time in these leftist demonstrations. Reporters never ask them who paid for their visits.
Wow. That comes as close to fake news now as we've had in a long time, Cal. And you're just throwing out stuff there in relation to... You know nothing about these protesters.
Come on, you gave these other people... Well, who are these people? Don't they have jobs? If they do, did their employers let them off for the day? I think that's a legitimate question. You had signs. Who printed up the signs? Did they print up their own signs, or were they given to them? Socialism is the wave of the future.
The next thing you'd be telling me, Cal, George Soros paid for it all. You're only one step away from that.
Well, I'm just asking. I was a reporter before I was a columnist. I think it's a legitimate question. Why don't you ask them? It's a good question.
Marion McCone, while we're hearing about the circuses in relation to what Melania is wearing and Ivanka Trump and the rest of it, what about the substantial issue where the bread is? The fact that we have Britain, a departing member of the European Union, which does, as a member of the European Union, have trade deals with the United States, suddenly been tempted with the idea that there might be something better on offer from the United States. Why would there be, when all of the experience around the world is that Trump is trying to negotiate tougher trade deals with everybody else?
Well, exactly. I think that if you look at what's happening with Mexico at the moment, which is absolutely ludicrous and so damaging to the United States, if you look at what's happened with Canada, if you look at what happens with all of Trump's allies, he only seems to cozy up to the people who would do America ill, and he seems to treat his allies disgracefully. I think that Britain has very good reason to be worried. But one thing came up that I think has really given Britain a bit of a wake-up call, that Trump envisages as part of a trade deal that American investors could get into the NHS and basically try and, you know, make money out of it or take it private or do whatever they would do. And anybody who looks at the American health system, where you, for a minor illness, you can lose your home, you can be bankrupted very, very quickly. Britain is very fond of its NHS, and I think that seeing that their NHS might be part of any trade deal has really sobered them up a bit. In terms of just what Cal said, just a couple of things. The fact that you're applauding Donald Trump for being able to read a toast without screwing it up just shows how low the bar is for this president. He's the president of the United States, for God's sake. He should be able to go on a trade visit and on a state visit and go to a state dinner without making a mess of things. So the fact that we're applauding the elephant for dancing badly is just, you know, as I said, it just shows nobody thought it was extraordinary that Barack Obama could go to Britain and have a flawless appearance and toast the Queen and all the rest of it. It was just expected. You know, so, I mean, the standards really have fallen. Melania Trump, yes, she's well-dressed. So what? You know, I mean, really, so what? Who cares? What I want to know, speaking of who's paying for things, is who's paying for the entire Trump family to go to Britain, and who's paying for Ivanka and Jared and Tiffany and Eric and his wife and Don to prance around the place. I mean, that's all costing money.
It's going to cost us money in Ireland as well in the next couple of days. How much is the bill going to be to accommodate him to visit his own private golf property?
Why are the Trump family ligging along on a state visit? It's completely inappropriate. There are so many things about this visit that are inappropriate. And Donald Trump, you know, the press conference with Theresa May earlier, when I was in the Oval Office about 4 months ago, I asked Donald Trump about what he thought of Brexit, etc. And he laid into Theresa May. He said she'd made a mess and she didn't take his advice, etc. And then he does a total volte-face because he's standing beside her and starts cozying up to her. I mean, he is so amoral. The man has no moral fibre whatsoever. You know, his word changes from 1 minute to the next, and the whole nonsense about the crowds cheering him instead of protesting him, I mean, it's just delusional. Look, the trip, to be fair to Donald Trump, he didn't make any major gaffes, but again, why should we be applauding a president who doesn't go and make a total gaffe? But meeting Nigel Farage is a mistake, and I think his behaviour generally is just inappropriate wading into Brexit.
Shane in Waterford says, what about all the loopers who go to the Trump rallies? Do they have jobs? Who pays for their food and their signs?
Those are nighttime rallies for the most part, and people leave their jobs at the end of the day and go to the rallies, Matt.
Not everybody works 9 to 5. In fact, an awful lot of the people on the NHS, the National Health Service, which is one of the great... what are you laughing at? The NHS is one of the great things about Britain, about free healthcare for people.
If you want to see the failures of the NHS, just do a search, UK Daily Mail. They have been on the top of this for years, about people turned away, about people on trolleys in the hallways because they can't get rooms, ambulances waiting for a long period of time to get into the emergency room, people waiting in line for serious surgery, and if they have the resources coming to the United States, this has been something going on from Canada for ages. People coming down for heart surgery at the Cleveland Clinic because the waiting list is too long in Canada. I mean, this is stuff that people do their own due diligence and do searches about the NHS. They will. Now, with respect to Mexico and these trade deals, the American Dow Jones Industrials up over 460 points today. So Americans are pretty pretty optimistic about this, and I think these trade deals, not only with China, but with Mexico and with Canada, all of these things are being or have been renegotiated because they have been detrimental to the United States in the past, and that's what President Trump is trying to fix.
What you say to that, Marion?
Kat, I think you're drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm sorry. The reason that the Dow went up today is because the Republicans signaled that they're going to veto this, that they're going to block Trump's attempt to impose tariffs on Mexico. That's why it went up. This is, you know, insanity. And I'm sorry, but if you're quoting the Daily Mail as the oracle of the NHS, I mean, I would encourage you to maybe look at The Economist or The Financial Times or The Times or any paper that is remotely objective. The Daily Mail has its... I'm sorry, it's not even worth referencing the Daily Mail.
Okay, I have a couple of things I want to move on to. I have only limited time.
The same thing. The Daily Telegraph has had stories about the same thing. And don't talk to me about objectivity. Nobody's objective. Everybody has a point of view. What we try to be is fair and give both sides, which is not what the UK and Irish media do.
And the facts.
Facts. I'd like to know more about how you got in to see Trump 4 months ago. That's the first I've heard of that. I've been trying for 8 months to get in to see him.
During the Prime Minister Leo Varadkar's visit, I was in the Oval Office. I asked him a question
about Brexit.
It was a
group meeting. I got it. Okay.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you something else, Cal. It's been revealed today by the Irish Times that Leo Varadkar went off for a secret meeting with former President Barack Obama while he was on his visit to Washington last March. How do you think Trump is going to react if he discovers that? Is that something he might bring up when they meet in Shannon Airport tomorrow?
By the way, Obama carried his family members and his mother-in-law on the plane, and nobody complained about that, but that's another issue. It's probably a diplomatic faux pas, but look, this is a free country. You can meet with whoever you wish and whenever you wish, and I don't care if he's coming over here meeting with Obama. It's fine with me.
What do you think, Marion? Is that the type of thing that Trump, you know, whatever, he might do that type of thing himself, but the idea that somebody is off sort of like politically two-timing him, how's that likely to go down?
Yeah, I think with President Trump, you know, it's the old he can give it, but he can't take it. I don't think he'll be especially happy about it. Personally, I don't think it's that big a deal. It was a private meeting. Yes, he was advised not to do it by the DFA, but you know, I mean, I'm kind of with Cal on this. I think so what?
Okay, so we have tomorrow. We will have our coverage of Donald Trump when he arrives in Shannon when he's finished with his visit to Britain. Thank you, both of you, Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas, for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.